God has given gifts to the body, and we all, the Bible says, all of us have gifts to serve. And you're going to hear the Word of God this morning through a gift to our body in the person of Maureen Small. Maureen, some of you may not know, she served in a volunteer capacity in church life here, in children's ministry leadership in the past years, and has done so in other churches, and you may not know she's got a Bible college degree. She spent time on the mission field in Kenya, and her husband moved from the West Coast 3 years ago or so, or whatever it's been. And their kids, their family's a blessing in our church. We appreciate them. And so I invite you to open your heart to the Word of God as Maureen shares this morning. Welcome her. Gonna put your water.
Switch water bottles with him. That's probably a good idea. Well, good morning. I was doing fine, just, you know, feeling really great here until they prayed for Mega Sports Camp and sang that song. And it's close to my heart, so I'm a little choked up there. I think of that, those little kids. And I was a little kid once who had the privilege of being raised in a Christian home, grew up in the church. But just because I was in a Christian home didn't mean that everything was good all the time. There was definitely some problems there, not an entirely functional home. And Jesus was my friend. And I think of that often. The kids in this town that look like everything's okay on the outside, but inside, they're hurting. And we have an opportunity this week to reach them and to change their lives and change the world through them. Who knows what will happen this week that will affect our country in 30 years when those kids are the 40-year-olds who are running this country. And who knows what will happen in their little hearts this week that will change the rest of the world. I want to be somebody who changes the world. Anybody else out there want to change the world? Anybody want to make a difference in our world right here, right now, and in the future? Well, it seems to be a very common theme, like not just here with us, but every religion out there talks about wanting to change the world. Right now, I'm hearing in media people who have no religion at all talk about wanting to make a difference in the world, wanting to make a change in the world. Everybody wants to leave a legacy behind with them. But the problem is, how do we do that? How do we make that difference? Well, when I was young, I used to think that I would come to this point in my life where there would be the one big thing that I was created to do. This was it. I was going to arrive, and I was going to do something momentous that was going to change the world and leave a legacy behind. But as I've gotten older, I've come to realize that a lot of people, most people, probably don't get that one big break, that one big thing that they're known for and that they stand out for all of their life. This is what they were created to do. The change that each person makes in this world is made not through the one big thing, but through making a series of little choices, right choices, that added up together, change the world. Well, lots of people want to make the world a better place by finding a cure for cancer, or solving world hunger, or maybe brokering world peace. You know, maybe you dream of rescuing an abused child, or maybe it's changing the life of a homeless person through something that you do, those big things. But the reality is that we make a change in our world, a difference in our world, when we return our shopping cart to its proper place after we've used it. We make the world a better place when we pick up the paper towels strewn around the washroom at Walmart. We make the world a better place when we smile at the parents of the screaming toddler in the restaurant or the screaming toddler at the church instead of giving them the evil eye. Those are the ways that we change the world, the ways that we make a difference in the world around us. John Archer of the missions organization Millennium Relief and Development Services writes, "If we get lost in just focusing on grand schemes to change the world, we may lose the opportunity to see a single life changed by one kind act." How true that is. We focus on the big, grand, and glorious things and forget the little things that make a difference. The problem is that those little things, there's not much glory in doing those. Usually no one even notices the little things that we do. If we're going to try to change the world, then we would like people to please stand up and take notice of our contributions. We want them to applaud us a little bit. We want them to recognize the sacrifices that we've made to make this world a better place. We want them to see the fruits of our efforts to make the world a better place. Well, certainly some of that desire to be recognized is human nature, and it can be a sin to want the recognition. But there's also a part of us as Christians that honestly, genuinely desires people to look at the change that we're making, the fruits of our labors, because we want them to say, oh, they've got something, someone that I want. We want them to see that we have someone who can change the world and change them in ways that they don't even realize. So we want them to notice the good deeds, just as the Bible says, and give glory to God. It's a genuine, heartfelt, not sinful idea at all sometimes to want people to see the fruit of our labor. What we really want to be is we want to be like the tree that's mentioned in Psalm 1. The tree whose leaf never withers and who prospers in every season of their life. Let's take a look at Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. That's what I want for my life. I want to prosper in my life. That word kind of threw me off when I first started studying this, because I tend to think of prosperity in terms of money, wealth, and financial success. I think that's how most people probably think of the word prosper or prosperity. So I started looking up the original Hebrew word, which I will not try to pronounce for you, but looked up what was the original Hebrew word and what does it really mean? Well, it has some shades of meaning that help me think of prosperity in a new light. The word used here can mean to rush, to advance, make progress, succeed, or be profitable. Well, I love the way that that word ties success with advancing and making progress. It means I don't have to arrive to be prosperous. I don't have to be, success is not achieving this one thing. It's continually growing, progressing, and advancing. That is success. If we are growing in our lives, that is success. Sometimes, like I said before, I feel like I'm waiting for that one big season of my life, that big fruitful season where I've spiritually arrived. But that's not the way a tree grows. It doesn't just arrive at its one fruitful period and that's it, it's done. No, in cycles, in seasons, it continues to grow and bear fruit. We're fruitful throughout our lives in seasons. We don't have to arrive spiritually to be successful. We only have to keep advancing, keep progressing, keep growing like a plant. Well, the root of the problem is this. We all want the fruit, but without the roots, there is no fruit. We all want the fruit, but without the roots, there is no fruit. Fruit is beautiful. It's visible to everyone else, makes the tree look good, makes the tree even look like it's useful and it's doing something prosperous. But without those unseen roots that are down in the ground, the tree wouldn't even be able to bear the fruit. Roots will bring fruit throughout the seasons of our life. My sister planted an Asian pear tree in her yard a few years ago. And to her delight, it started to actually bear fruit the first summer after it was planted. And she watched it and waited for the fruit and was excited that she was going to get to harvest her Asian pears. Well, she'd gone away for a few days at the end of summer, came back late summer, to find that her pear tree had split right down the middle and fallen to either side. The fruit on that young tree was too heavy. It didn't have a root system that was built up enough to make the trunk of it strong enough to hold the branches with the fruit. And because of that, it lost all the fruit. It fell, and the fruit was unusable because of that. Outwardly, you might look like you've got it all together. You're serving on the right committees and departments at the church and in the community, and you're seem to be pleasant enough on the outside. You've got it together, and you're running around, and you're trying to do the right things to be a good Christian and to do what's expected of you and to be fruitful. In your heart, you're saying, God, use me. I want to be used by you. And so you're out doing the things that you're trying to do to be fruitful and to be used by God. But if you want to stay strong and if you want to endure as a Christian and you want to continue to be fruitful, you've got to have big roots. The fruit's not enough. There has to be roots as well. Everyone can see the fruit on a tree. But the only time that you see the roots are when the tree is uprooted. And in the same way, when a person's life is uprooted, you can see what their foundation is for their faith and for their life. How do you respond to crisis and to change in your life? How do you respond to those little irritating things that can uproot your plan for the day? What do your roots look like when you're uprooted, when your plans don't go as they should? Is your fruit still showing? Is your fruit still good? Elizabeth George, in her book, A Woman After God's Own Heart, puts it this way. Just like a plant with its roots hidden underground, you and I, out of public view and alone with God, are to draw from him all that we need to live the abundant life he has promised his children. What you do in private is far more important than what is seen in public. Everything else flows out of that private life of yours, that unseen time that's spent with God. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3, shows a progression toward developing roots, which leads to being fruitful. It starts with who we hang out with. Psalm 1:1 says, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with scoffers." There's progression within that verse, and Marlo spoke on this earlier this summer from the same passage, and he mentioned that too. There's a progression that starts with listening to ungodly advice. It moves to where you're standing around with people that you ought not to be, and it ends up with you sitting right down with them and joining in with their bad behavior. If we want to grow good roots, be fruitful, and make a difference in this world, then it's going to be through the little choices we make. We need to be careful about who's influencing us. Sometimes we think that if we aren't actively taking part in sin, we're doing okay. We're not doing the bad things they're doing. But as this verse says, sometimes just standing around and doing nothing is still wrong. When I was in college, I was a waitress to put myself through school, or part of school at least. In the restaurant that I worked at, there was probably about a dozen waitresses there. And one of their favorite pastimes was to sit around and talk about each other behind their backs and nitpick at each other and insult each other and gossip about each other. Everyone there knew that I was a Christian. It was rather hard to hide because I was going to Bible college. So I was quite aware that I was being watched. They made comments to that effect, and I knew that they were seeing what I was like as a Christian. So I tried to be careful in what I said and what I did in the restaurant and be a good Christian on the outside. Well, one of the things was trying to stay out of their gossip sessions. As they would all sit around talking, I was very careful not to say anything bad about anyone else and to try to stay out of it. Well, one day in particular, Karen was one of the waitresses that seemed to be their victim for the night, and everything that they could think of to say bad about her, they were, and criticizing her and putting her down behind her back. At one point, I was taking my break and sitting at a table in the kitchen and ended up right in the middle of all the gossip as everybody stopped by the table and sat down for a few minutes and talked and whatever. And on they went about Karen. I didn't say a word, just sat there and didn't say anything to put her down. A little while later, she came by. Karen came by with tears in her eyes, and she very angrily accused us of talking about her behind her back. And then she looked at me, and she pointed at me, and she said, "Maureen, I expected better from you." I was just shocked, and I said, "Karen, I didn't say anything bad about you at all. I didn't say anything." And she said, "I know you didn't, but you didn't get up and leave, and you didn't try to stop them." I thought, wow. Her standard for me as a Christian was way higher than what I thought the standard should be. But she was right. Sometimes doing right means taking action, not just not taking action. Sometimes you need to stand up for what is right. Without that, it's too easy to slide into that sitting around with the sinners, joining right in with what they're doing. We need to be careful about who we're hanging out with. Just by being with that group of people, either I needed to stand up and say something, or I needed to get out of there. Just by association of being with them, I was compromising my testimony. Verse 2 of Psalm 1 tells us that really joyful, fruitful Christian trees delight in doing everything God wants. Well, everything seems like a pretty tall order. How do you do everything God wants. It's kind of hard to go through the Bible and pick out each little command and verse, and that can be overwhelming. But you know what? All those little things, the everything that we're to do, that's the fruit. And it's not our job to grow that fruit. It's our job to grow the roots. And the fruit will come from that. We need to absorb God's law, the Bible. We need to immerse ourselves in it. Because the Word of God needs to permeate everything we do, absolutely everything we do. Every thought we think, every decision that we make needs to be rooted in the Word of God. Delighting ourselves in God's law means that every choice, the big ones, the small ones, you're thinking about, what does God want me to do in this situation? Sometimes those little choices are as simple as, should I play one more computer game or should I go do the dishes? And yes, I speak from personal experience. Sometimes those choices are little. One more TV show or go to bed so that I can get up early enough to pray in the morning. It's those little choices that are going to make the difference whether your roots are growing deep and strong and enabling you to do everything that God wants you to do. See, being saturated in God's word makes it easier for us to know what to do in any situation. When we're saturated in God's word, we instinctively know what to say and what not to say, what to do and what not to do. When we're saturated in God's word, we don't have to stop and think and worry and wonder and pray about whether something's right or wrong. His living word changes our very thought processes so that a pattern emerges of doing what is right. It changes our very worldview so that doing right becomes a way of life to us. Time spent reading the Bible and absorbing its truths is what builds our roots and makes us fruitful. Psalm 1:3 tells us that when we watch who we hang out with, when we do everything the Lord wants, and when we think about his law day and night, we'll become like fruitful trees with leaves that never wither. Well, what are leaves on a plant for? I'm going to look at the high school students. Was that biology that you're supposed to learn about what leaves on a plant do? What are they for? Anybody remember a big word? Photosynthesis? Yeah, leaves are for photosynthesis. Yeah, Mercy's going, all right. Yeah. And that's what the leaves on the plants are for. Well, they use energy from the sun to convert carbon dioxide into energy to make the plant grow. Well, like leaves, by relying on God's power, we are able to convert whatever our circumstances are into growth, food for our souls. Leaves can store food and water. Essentially, they are self-feeders. They take whatever is around them, and they convert it into what they need to live on. They don't wait for someone to come and shove food in their mouth like animals do or humans. Well, likewise, we are to be self-feeders. If we don't want our leaves to ever wither, then we need to develop those roots and remain in the sunlight of God's presence. As we do that, we develop a self-perpetuating cycle of spiritual growth. Rather than waiting for Sunday to come to church and hear the preacher, or waiting for our small group in the middle of the week and watching a DVD with them, instead of waiting to get that spiritual food from those kinds of situations, we're able to grow in our faith on our own. Self-feeding, just like a healthy plant, taking in what we need, the nutrients we need in order to grow. 2 Peter 1:3 tells us that God's divine power has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. We already have everything we need to live that godly life of doing everything God wants us to do. We already have it. We just need to tap into it. And how do we tap into it? Well, the rest of that verse goes on to say that we do that through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Now, where do we get knowledge of God? From the Bible. We're back to that again. Everything that we need to live that godly life is right here in the Bible. And we just need to tap into it. If you've been around Christians for any length of time, you have probably heard the word devotions used as a noun, as in, have you had your devotions lately? I personally don't really like that term, devotions, because I think that it's kind of vague. What are devotions? And it's Christianese. It's one of those Christian-y words that we use that no one else really knows what it means. But I also don't like it because it takes what should be a natural part of our relationship with Jesus and it turns it into a guilt-laden requirement. Another thing on our daily to-do list, have your devotions, mark it off. I don't think that God is as concerned with our devotional life as he is with our life of devotion. It's everything we do. The basic components of having devotions are Bible reading and prayer. Now listen, both of those are vital to our relationship with Jesus, and I am not saying that we should not do them, and I'm not saying that we should not take them seriously, or we should not, and I'm not saying we should neglect that. In fact, that's quite the opposite of what I want to get across this morning. I just have an issue with the terminology, having devotions. I think our devotion to God isn't constrained to 15 minutes a day. Psalm 1 tells us that the joy of Christian living comes in part from thinking of God's law day and night. Thinking about the Bible, meditating on the Bible day and night. I'm going to be honest with you. Reading the Bible, praying, waiting on God, having devotions, it isn't always fun. It's not appealing. Sometimes I simply want to do something else. It's not easy. We all know we should do that. We know we should do these things. We even know and we feel in our heart that need to spend that time with God. We want it. But sometimes it does feel like a chore. Just being honest. I don't think that being a Christian means that you suddenly always have this overwhelming desire and love to just get in there and read God's word. We'd like that. It would make it a lot easier. But that's not the reality. It's a discipline. It's like exercise. You don't feel like doing it, but every time after you exercise, you feel better afterward. You feel good that you did that. And even though you feel good you did it, the next day, you still struggle with that same desire to get out there and exercise again. How many of you have ever gone on a diet or even decided to give up something like coffee or sugar or something like that for a while? What happens when you blow it? Do you give up? Do you just feel like, I messed up. I ate way too much. I said I wasn't going to have any sugar this week, and I ate a cupcake. You know, I already blew it. Why even bother? I'm forget it. I'm just going to go on, carry on, eat the way I normally eat, and not worry about it anymore. Well, sometimes we do that with our quiet time with God, too. We set up with a plan. We say, I'm going to read a certain number of chapters every day. Or I'm going to pray for a certain number of minutes every day. And then a day goes by, and we don't do it. Another day goes by, something gets in the way, and we don't do it. And we just give up. I can't keep up with this. I can't do it. I can't be as good as everybody else. I'm just not even going to try. Well, I'm going to give you a key piece of advice right now. So listen up. Are you ready? Something is better than nothing. Something is better than nothing. If you set yourself a goal to spend 15 minutes a day in prayer and somehow that day went by and that didn't happen, instead of berating yourself, say, God, I'm sorry. Take 1 minute, take two. Something is better than nothing. Don't turn away from God because you blew it. You messed up your own plan to read your Bible or to pray. And the guilt overwhelms you, and you turn, and you think, I can't do this. Don't turn away from him. Turn to him. He loves you. He understands. He is not standing there to judge you, to make you feel guilty because you didn't live up to your own or someone else's expectations of what having devotion should be. We undermine ourselves. We weaken our root system because we feel ashamed, and we turn away, and we think we can't do this, so we just give up and don't try. But God says, I'm here. I'm welcoming you every time. Come back every time. If it's been 2 days, if it's been 2 years, if it's been 20 years since you picked up your Bible and read it, or since you prayed a prayer to God, it's all right. Anytime, now is the time. You can turn to him. Get back into that. Do what you need to do. Do what he wants to do. It's a loving relationship, not a chore on your list of things to do. It's a relationship. Often when I'm rushing around in the morning trying to get ready, Andy will announce that it is hug time. And he has taught me that taking 10 or 15 seconds just to connect, give each other a hug, makes a a big difference in the way our relationship goes. It's a small act that makes a big difference. And we don't always have time to sit down and have a heart-to-heart talk over breakfast every morning. We don't usually have breakfast. But we don't have time for that at that point in our lives. But you know what? We can take a few seconds to look each other in the eye and connect emotionally. And it can set the tone for the rest of our relationship. And do you suppose that we do need, of course, more intimate, longer times? I'm not saying 10 or 15 seconds with God is going to be sufficient, just like it wouldn't be with your spouse. You do need longer times of building that relationship. But even those little moments of centering yourself, focusing one-on-one, can make a big difference. And we need that in our relationship with Jesus, too. Sometimes, honestly, it is just taking a few seconds before I walk out the door in the morning and just stop. Jesus, you're here with me right now. Help me through this day. Let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight. Those few seconds can make a big difference. It turns your thoughts toward God. You begin to look at things differently throughout the day. Do you suppose that when Andy and I have our little hug ritual, if we forget one morning and it doesn't work out, do you think we just say, oh, forget it then. We're going to just give up on this idea of even trying to hug because we just cannot remember to do that. It just didn't happen this morning and, you know, we're terrible as a couple. We failed. Just going to give up. Of course we don't. We just, the next morning or a couple days later, hey, hug time. It's the same thing with God. It's just, get back in there. He's not going to give up on you, and you don't need to give up on him because you didn't do what you thought you were going to do for one day. Something is better than nothing. Find a way this week to improve the quality or the quantity of the time that you're spending with God. Sometimes reading our Bible, praying, it can seem like a chore because we can read for days and feel like we're not getting anything out of it. Sometimes I want to sit down and I want to read the Bible. And I want to be like the people who say, oh, I was reading my Bible this morning in my devotions, and God just spoke to me. This verse just jumped out, and it was the answer to the very thing that I needed. I want every day to be like that when I read my Bible, but you know what? It's not. It's not. There are times where something kind of jumps out at me, and I go, wow, that is really great. Do you know what I find more often? I don't get the answer that I think I want right then in that morning. But later on in the day, I'll be at the office, and somebody will say something, and I have a split second to decide how I'm going to respond. I have to respond instinctively in a godly manner. And that's where what I've been putting in from this word of God comes out. That's where the roots that I was building in those morning times or evening times when I didn't feel like I was getting anything out of it, my roots were growing, and in that split second, the fruit shows. Where have I been? Have I been in the Word of God, or haven't I? Are my roots saturated with the living water of the Word of God, or not? It's going to show in those split second decisions that I have to make. I think of reading the Bible like taking a vitamin. When you take your daily vitamin every day, you don't see a difference. I can't tell the difference. If I took it this day or that day, I don't know, it doesn't seem to make a big difference each day. But over time, whether I can see those results on a daily basis or not, my body's getting stronger and healthier, and my immune system is stronger. It's the same way with spending that quiet time with God, with reading your Bible, with praying. Even if you don't see the result right then in that season of your life or in that moment, or you walk away feeling like, did I get anything out of that? It's like a vitamin. It's making you stronger spiritually. It's making you healthier. It's building your immune system against sin and against Satan's attack in your life, whether you can see it or not. It's building roots that are unseen, and yet the fruit will be seen throughout your life. It's a matter of changing our focus. It's about taking our eyes off of the results, looking at the fruit, wanting to see that in our life, and recognizing that building the roots is the most important part. You see, it's not our job to grow the fruit. It is our job to grow roots. On those days when you're struggling to find meaning in the verses that you're reading, when your mind is drifting a million miles away as you're trying to pray, in those seasons of your life when it seems like you can't see God doing anything. Life just seems mundane. There's nothing exciting. There's nothing going on in your scope of influence where you can see God at work. Remember this. You're growing roots. And roots are just unseen fruit. I spent some time this morning acknowledging the difficulties in growing roots through our quiet time with God, praying and reading the Bible. Because I know that some of us struggle with that. We struggle to consistently spend that time with God. And I just didn't want to preach on the need to have roots in our life, to spend time in God's Word, and then have you walk out of here feeling guilty because you're not having as much time or as quality of time as you think you should. But I also don't want you to breathe a big sigh of relief and think that it doesn't matter if you go a couple weeks without reading your Bible. It's just a matter of changing our focus. It's taking our eyes off the results of the fruit and choosing what's more important, the roots. It's not even about putting in time to grow the roots just so we can see the fruit. It's simply knowing that we're obeying God and that what we're doing in private is going to make a difference in how your life turns out. And it's going to have a difference in how the lives of people around you turn out. When we face big decisions in our life, it's easy to see the need and feel the need to go to prayer. We open the Word of God and we seek for His wisdom in those big decisions of our life. But who we are as a Christ follower and how we're perceived by others, it really shows in the way we react to a cranky coworker. The depth of our character as a Christian is revealed when we are the cranky coworker. The health of our roots is challenged when a friend asks for our advice or a teacher questions our values. Colossians 4:6 says, "Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." Well, how can we be sure that our conversation is full of grace? How can we be sure that we have an answer for everyone who talks to us? How can we be sure that every response we give is a godly one, that every piece of advice that or opinion that we offer is a godly one? We're not going to have time to stop and pray and seek God and read the Bible for that answer in the middle of that conversation. We need to have our roots down deep. They need to be saturated in the Word of God so that the words that come out of our mouth and the reactions that we have when someone steps on our toes comes from the heart of God. It comes from a place that is grounded and rooted in the Word of God and in His presence. Because you know what? Those little responses, that is the fruit. It's not always the big thing that you do. The people that you lead to Christ, the changed life that you can see, maybe the book that you write or the speech that you write or the song that you sing, it's not the big stuff. It's the little stuff that's the fruit in our life. It's the little stuff that makes people say there's something different about that person. It's the little stuff that reveals whether or not we have Jesus Christ at the center of our lives and our hearts. And how does that get there? How does that fruit grow? By having roots that go deep into the Word of God in time spent reading the Bible, praying, seeking God. Those little things will naturally come out of that if we begin with the Word of God. This is my challenge to you today. Focus more on growing roots than growing fruit. It's not your job to grow that fruit anyways, but it sure is your job to grow roots. Recognize this week that reading your Bible, praying, and listening to God is absolutely essential to who you are as a Christ follower. You can't be a true Christ follower, actually following Christ and doing the things that He wants you to do, unless you know His Word, unless you're grounded in His Word, unless you've spent time praying and reading the Bible. No matter how much or how little you're investing in your life of devotion to God right now, there's always room to dig deeper. This week, make a change in the quality, the quantity, maybe both, of the quiet time that you spend with God. For some of you, that might be starting, saying, okay, one verse a day, I can read that. One, maybe 2 minutes to pray, I can do that. For some of you, that might be a starting point. Some of you might be diligently spending big amounts of time reading God's word, praying. Make sure that it's not just become a chore, that it's not just a thing on your list of things to do. Read my 4 chapters today, I'm good for the day. Make sure that you're actually communing with God. Work on the quality of that time. Stop, meditate on that verse that's before you. Spend that time speaking, saying, God, what do you want me to get out of this today? Take the guilt trip off of yourself. It's all right. Just keep growing. Don't give up. Just keep growing. Keep doing that one little thing. Making the one little change in the quality and the quantity of your time with God is going to make a big change in that fruit that people see from day to day. As you allow God and his word to penetrate and saturate the deepest parts of your life, your roots are going to begin to grow, and you're going to begin to see fruit in ways that you didn't expect to. I challenge you this week, as you invest more in the quality and in the quantity of your time with God, you will see fruit. This week, you will see fruit. It may not be the fruit of a large conversation on the deep issues of life and theology and spiritual growth with your neighbor. But you know what? Maybe when your toddler throws a tantrum, you'll respond a little more gently. And you'll say, wow, where'd that come from? Maybe when that person you work with snaps at you just one more time, instead of snapping back, you'll find that your automatic reaction is to show grace. And you'll think, wow, that's new. Those little fruits are going to show this week as you delve into the Word of God and you dig your roots deep and allow him to grow the fruit in your life. Let's pray. God, I thank you, first of all, for your Word. Where would we be if you had left us here on this earth without a written record of all that you want for us and all that you have for us? Thank you, God, for preserving your Word and allowing us the freedom in this country to read the Bible and to grow and be nurtured by it. Father, we confess, many times we haven't turned to your word. We haven't prayed, not consistently, not the way that we desire to or that you desire us to. God, I also thank you for your grace and how in a split second you take us back. No groveling, you just take us back. Thank you, God, for your forgiveness. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for your strength. We ask that this week you would strengthen us, Holy Spirit, that you would remind us gently, time and again, to make the right choice, to read your word, to pray, to turn off the TV or the computer and go back to your word, God. Thank you for those moments, Holy Spirit, when you do that for us. I pray for each one here today that we would hear your voice this week, God, that you would speak to us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see the way that the fruit is being displayed in our life as we dig deep into the Word of God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need help finding a Bible reading plan, a devotional book, something to keep you on track, because I know sometimes that is difficult, talk to Pastor Marlo. If you trust me, I have a few ideas too. And God bless you. Have a great week as you grow deeper roots with God.